Hallelujah. Good to see everybody. And I know that it seems like after Winter Bible Seminar that if you're not careful, you catch the Winter Bible Seminar flu or cold and get worn out. So we got to stay on top of things, right? Amen. You know, I was thinking about this earlier. I've been thinking about this, but I've got here my family, the Gregorich family. A couple of my cousins have really been into our ancestry, you know, and so they've gone and been able to find some things, and from some official things at Ellis Island there in New York where immigrants came. And my dad's grandfather, so my would have been my great grandfather, Pavel Gregovich, Gregovic, that became Gregurich. All right? He's listed as a Hungary Croatian. That's where he was from in that time. He was born. His last place of residence was a place called, and I'd have to get some, maybe a Croatian, in Mal Zedinci, But in May 5th of 1903, he arrived at Ellis Island as a 17-year-old aboard the travel ship Kroonland. Remember, you know, back then it wasn't hopping on a plane. It was hopping on a boat. He departed Europe from Antwerp. So that was, you know, May 5th, 1903. Well, 4 years later, a young lady by the name of Joanna Kopp, who went by Anna all of her life, who was listed as an Austria-Croatian. And she came in September 5th, 1907. She arrived in the United States. And they were at Ellis Island aboard the ship of travel was the Mexico, was the name of her ship. And she was 23. He was 17 when he arrived. She was 23. So he would have been 21 when she arrived. And in 1908, they were married in Auburn, Illinois, of all places. Central Illinois, about 80 miles north of St. Louis. But I was thinking about, you know, back then travel, how they had to, you know, purchase their ticket. And my grandfather, great-grandfather, and reading some history and some dates that he was one of the last of his brothers and sisters to travel to the United States. They all ended up immigrating here, but they traveled separately as they could raise the money, you know, to purchase their ticket, to come across the Atlantic there and arrive there in New York City at Ellis Island, and to get signed in, and, you know, and unknowingly have their name spelled different and changed, not knowing, you know, so you can see from, what did I say, Gregovic. And in fact, the spelling still is similar to that. We've had someone who is our cousin that lives in Croatia now has come over to the United States and visited, and I've seen, and they spell his name very similar, except he has added the G-R-E before the second G. But I started watching, you know, and you watch the Winter Olympics, and I started listening to him pronounce the Croatian hockey team names. And it's all like Gregorich, that's a itch, but it's all with a C with that little thing on it, you know, whatever that is, whatever that thing is. I thought, hey, this sounds like relatives here. I started looking, so we'd always been told that we were from Austria, but really more the Croatia. It's actually now we found out that at that time, it was Croatia, the bigger part of that. But I was thinking about, you know, purchasing that ticket. And it reminded me of those of you know who Blaine Bowman is. He's got a song called The Ticket. And the essence of that song is this, that there's a guy immigrating like my grandparents, United States, you know, from Europe at that time, and just looking to start a new life and a new country. And you know, most people just didn't go down. Now, obviously, if you were wealthy, but most people, like my family were farmers. When they got here, that's what they did. And they saved up. I mean, you imagine a 17-year-old saving up, working, doing whatever he could, saving up money to come. My grandmother actually came with some of her family, but they came. And just saving up, how long it took to save up all that money, to purchase that ticket, to get on that boat You know, and then to come all the way across the ocean and arrive here, and what to them was at the time the promise of a new life. And so, you know, we think about purchasing that ticket and the story of a man who I saw that guitar pick and forgot you saw it, Bill. I was like, hey, I'm going to get that. I need that one too. But then I forgot you already. It's not mine either, so we'll just leave it right there. I thought, praise the Lord. Oh, that's Bill's. Bill found it first. Finders, keepers. The rest are weepers, right? Anyway, so purchasing that ticket, and this man, you know, he purchased a ticket, and he got on, and he got all of his things together, and, you know, he was on the boat, and he brought some crackers with him and some peanut butter-like stuff, you know, to spread on it, because all he had was enough money to buy the ticket. Okay, for transporting him to this promised land, you know, for him, the new promise, just like my great grandparents. And so as he's coming across there, you know, he'd peer into the, you know, to the great cafeteria and the rest, and look in there at everybody eating, you know, and they're having these nice meals, the best, you know, the best that could be offered at the time, because I mean these boats, it's expensive to come on these boats, and they were nicely laid out and had good amenities and that type of stuff. But he just had enough money for the ticket. And so he would look there every day, but then he'd go back to his cabin, get out his crackers, you know, get his crackers, spread his little spread on there and eat that. And thankful for that, because he's coming to the promised land, glory to God, right? Well, they weren't more than like a day out of port into New York City there. And one of the captain's assistants, you know, one of the higher ups, saw him and said, hey, sir, let me ask you a question. He said, I've noticed that we haven't seen you at any of the meals, and we were just wondering, are you okay? Have you been, is there anything we could have done to make your trip more pleasant? He goes, oh, sir. He said, no. He said, it's been a wonderful trip. The room has been very nice. But he said, sir, when I bought the ticket, I didn't have enough money to pay for the food. So I brought my own food. And the man that worked for the cruise line, he just hung his head. He said, sir, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you didn't know that when you bought the ticket, it paid for it all. It was all included in the price of the ticket. I'm here to tell you tonight that when Jesus went to the cross, went to the grave, rose again, and was seated at the right hand of God, everything that salvation entails was paid for fully. It was all included, if you will, in the price of the ticket. Amen? Well, what's included in that? Well, that great word salvation. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. See, that man in the song, you know, he thought he didn't have enough. He thought he didn't, you know, if he'd have had it, he would have paid extra if he could have got in there and eaten one of those meals. But he didn't, and he didn't realize he didn't have to pay for it. It had already been paid for. When that man from the, you know, from the captain's assistant found him, he wasn't saying, well, you know, if you didn't, no. He was saying, sir, why didn't you come in? Why didn't you come in and partake of what rightfully belonged to you? It was already taken care of. So many times I think, you know, we're trying to, you know, see if we can just do something else. If I can pray enough, I'll earn this. If I can fast, if I can, you know, do enough, I volunteer enough, whatever it is, I can earn. Well, listen, folks, it's already been paid for. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I'm 59, but I'm still going through puberty. Sorry, my voice is... It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I love to paraphrase what Barclay said, not Barclay, but Schofield says in his note on this verse, that the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation and saved are the all-inclusive words of the gospel, gathering together all the redemptive acts into one word. If you're saved, you're not just saved from hell, you're healed, you're preserved, you're kept safe, you're delivered, you're redeemed. If you're saved, it is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel message. And don't let's not lose that it's the good news. The good news tonight is that your healing has already been paid for. The good news tonight is that all your needs being met by His riches and glory has been paid for. Now, I know that we have, because of that, it's because of the goodness of God. I've never, if you're trying to live right and holy, trying to earn something from God, you'll never get there. But if you just know, I'm going to live right because God's so good, that'll produce holiness in you. Amen. Now, you're not just going to sit there and say, I'm going to respond to it, but I'm not trying to earn it. And I talked to Winter Bible Seminar, probably most of you weren't here that morning, on Wednesday morning, but really, we've been trying to change when all we need to be is transformed. Change has already taken place. How many of you are born again? You know, you're a new creature in Christ. You were changed already. You've been changed on the inside. And now, he said, we're working out our own salvation. It's already in there. I'm being transformed, glory to God. Well, it's this gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. Now, I want you to go to Romans. Well, first go to Ephesians chapter 2, then we'll come back to Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so good to know that somebody's already paid for it. It's so good to know that. But you know, if you can know that and never partake of it, right? Listen, when filet mignon has been purchased, don't stay in your cabin and eat cheese and crackers. Unless you just really love some cheese and crackers. I mean, when lobster tail amen, and sea bass. I'll never forget the first time I ever got bumped up to business class on an overseas flight. Me and my brother-in-law were coming back from Kenya. We got to Amsterdam, and I had flown enough miles to be on the list. I didn't, they called my name. Yes, what'd I do? Did I do something wrong? I'm just wanting to get on the flight to get home, right? They said, here, we got new boarding passes for you and your travel companion. And we were upstairs on a 747. All right? Now, so I'm already, you know when you get on these flights, I'm already figuring, okay, do I want chicken or do I want pasta? Because that's what they serve, right? And I've flown on some of those overseas flights and those long-haul flights where if you're in the back, there is no choice. We have pasta. Because usually the chicken gets gone. Okay? We have pasta. Be warm, be filled, But they came around up there and they gave me a menu. Now, that first time it's kind of interesting because I think we do this as Christians sometimes. I had every right to be there because they put me there. And I had flown those other flights and earned those miles and had that, but they put me up there. Okay? I want to tell you, I was tired. I'd already flown 8.5 hours from Nairobi to Amsterdam. I'd been in the airport about 5 hours in Amsterdam, then got on that flight. We're flying 8.5 hours more back to Detroit. 8 hours more back to Detroit. Then flying from there down to Greater Cincinnati Airport, which is in Kentucky. Yeah, that makes life right. But anyway, so we're flying back there. It'd be December of 1999 was when we took that, when he went with me over there. And I had every right. I had never been there before. I didn't sleep at all. I couldn't go to sleep. I didn't know what I was going to miss. They brought a little bowl of warmed up roasted nuts. I didn't have to open a package and spill them all over myself. It was roasted. I couldn't go to sleep. I hadn't been there before. It's like a lot of Christians. They don't know what belongs to them, so they're anxious. I can't miss it. When all along, if I'd have just rested, I didn't realize that, I've been blessed to fly up there some other times. And now I know, just tell them, look, when the food comes by, wake me up. But otherwise, I'm sleeping. Don't take my groaning and sounds that can't be uttered, my snoring, as meaning I don't want to eat. Wake me up. And they will. Amen. As Christians, that's the thing. We need to act like healing belongs to us. We need to act like prosperity, needs being met, belongs to us. We need to act like soundness of mind belongs to us. We need to act like good marriage and sound relationships belongs to us. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2, after he talks about who we used to be, I can't read down in there. I would like to just jump to verse 8, but I can't. My favorite phrase in the whole Bible is found here in verse 4, but God. But God. It doesn't matter what you say before that. When you say, but God, something better is about ready to follow. Amen? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now, did he stop loving us? He loves us, right? Even when we were dead in sins, well, evidently I'm not anymore, has quickened, made me alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. By grace, you are healed. By grace, you are delivered. By grace, you are redeemed. Hallelujah. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, excuse me, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So many Christians, listen, let's not put that off to eternity. It starts the moment you're born again. Those ages to come started. God, listen, he wants to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. What's that mean? The exceeding riches and depth of his salvation. He wants us to experience the depth of the salvation that Jesus has provided for us, or that God has provided for us through Jesus. The depth. You know, Brother Hagin would talk about not just being healed, but living in divine health. He talked about going, he said, I've gone years and not even realize I have a body. What does that mean? He's just living in that health. He's living in the Word. He's just living in who he is in Christ. That's why it's so important that we find out who we are. Here's something else with this, and I'm kind of going on healing tonight just because that's something that we all deal with. But listen, I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed. I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. The devil's trying to steal my healing. Now, that's a big difference in the way I approach this. You know, if someone comes to my house and they don't belong there and they're trying to steal from me, then I'm going to treat them a whole lot different than I do a guest. Right? Sickness is not a guest. In fact, there's a no vacancy sign for sickness and disease. Because I'm already healed by the stripes of Jesus. Glory to God. Or I could say it this way, I'm saved. So it gets here in verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Or let's say it this way, for by grace I am healed. Say that, for by grace I am healed. For by grace I'm delivered. For by grace I'm redeemed. Now we don't stop reading there. Notice what he says, through faith. Through faith. Grace and faith always work together. Grace and faith always work together. Now, faith, you know, yes, we can speak. God spoke by faith and created the world. He spoke the word. We have been given the ability to speak and to frame our world by the words that we're saying. However, when we are operating in faith, it's not that we're doing something that's outside of what God has already provided. Now, here's what I mean by that, okay? How many of you have ever seen an apple tree, right? Now, you know the apple tree grows apples because it's a apple tree. And everything being equal, you didn't grow the apple. You might have apple trees planted, but you didn't grow the apple. I mean, that God created the tree, it made the apple. But if you ever want to partake of the apple, now how many of you have been around apple trees long enough? No, you don't want them ones that fall on the ground, okay? In fact, we used to take, we'd gather those up and we'd feed those to the hogs. Pigs, for those of you who don't know what a hog is. We called them hogs. I don't know what you call them, okay? I mean, a hog loves a good rotten apple, okay? But if you want one that's really good, one that's right, you've got to reach up and take hold of what's already been provided. It's there. But if I'm going to partake of it, I just reach up and take hold of it and say, thank you. See, God has already provided my salvation. He's already provided your healing. He's already provided it for you. All you got to do is by faith, reach out and take hold of it. Now, here's the great thing. I'm not reaching up to heaven trying to get healing from there. It's already in me. That life of God's already in me. I just got to reach it. I'm actually reaching in and pulling it out. Brother Hagin would make some statements. He said, we've got to learn how to minister to people's spirits in order to get them healed. And when he said that, I'm a student at Rhema. You know, there's so many things that when you're a student, even now, you know, after I'll be 40 years old in Christ, June 30th this year. You know what I mean by that? I got saved on June 30th, 1980. It was a Monday night, by the way, for those of you that think that's important. All right? But even, and sometimes some people say some things today. But I remember back, you know, early on, I would hear some things and they would just go, whew. Like, I have no idea what that just meant. And I'm sitting in class and Brother Hagin's talking about, we got to learn how to minister to their spirit. And everyone else around me is amen, and so I'm amen too. I have no idea what he's talking about. I don't know what that means. I didn't realize that the healing already resides within us because he's in us and the mighty Holy Ghost is in us. And if Jesus is the healer and he's in us by his spirit, healing's in us. And the life of God's in us, and the life, there's no death, there's no sickness and disease in that, so it's in me. So I understand what he was saying to a point now. I understand it better, let me say it that way. All right? For by grace am I healed through faith, that not of myself, it's the gift of God. So listen, healing is a gift from God, paid for by Jesus Christ, according to God's plan, and available to me through the access of faith. It belongs to me. It's my right. It's your wrong. And I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you, okay? But that's how I think. I'm showing you how I think about it. It's mine. Now, it's not based on how I feel. Thank God it's not based on how I look. I had to go get a new driver's license this week because ours is up. You get them every 4 years here in Oklahoma, and then we're going to have to get that new one in the fall. And I ask, well, how much is that going to cost? You know, well, $25, okay, to get that new one you can travel on and that meets all the requirements, whatever, because Big Brother's watching. But anyway, you know, I opened this, never did take a drink. Could you mind? Anybody thirsty? Let me see your hand. All right, this is for you. You ready? That was mean, I know. Oh, so I'll take another one. Thank you, Arthur, for putting this out here. Okay, now go back to Romans chapter 10. You know, and I've read them. I thought, you know, boy, ooh, you know, back in, how many of you have been, of course, it's going to show how old we are. How many of you have been saved for over 30 years? Let me see your hands, okay? How many of you have been in Word of Faith circles for that long, 30 years? Okay. Well, we've come a long way, haven't we? We've come a long way, glory to God. You know, I haven't seen, nobody's written a book in a while, you know, the 48 steps to the highest faith. Because we realized, you know, faith's not that hard. 48 steps. Dear Lord, I don't even want to walk up 48 steps, let alone take 48 steps to get the highest faith. Lord, help me, Jesus. Right? You know, it's not that we've made faith so difficult, and really, this scripture here just shows you how to receive everything that salvation has gotten for you in two verses. Two verses. So, you ready? Two verses to the highest faith. Are you ready? Romans 10:9. Now, brother, I thought this was talking about getting saved. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. You might have to change your definition of saved. I'm saved. I'm healed. Yes. Saved, healed. Yes. Saved, delivered. Yes. Healed, delivered, saved. Yes. Redeemed, saved, healed, delivered. One of the definitions of saved is preserved. Amen. How many of you like preserves? You like to eat them. Well, then you know that's a good thing. Verse 9, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. How many of you believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead by God? Okay. All right. Verse 10 then. Here's why that works. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. See, what I believe here in righteousness is used. Yes, we're made the righteousness of God in Christ through Jesus. But here it also means that it carries this weight with it. With the heart, with my heart, I place myself in agreement with God. See, because I'm agreeing, I'm believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. And so that places me just like Abraham, who believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. When we believe what God said, it puts us in a right place. All right? In the process, it's not that, it doesn't mean I'm less righteous before I believe. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about our standing in Christ. We're talking about being in that place of agreement with God and what he said. So with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, again, what's salvation? Well, when I confess Jesus as my Lord, do you know no demon in hell could stop me from being born again? I was born again. And I'm telling you, there's no demon in hell can stop you from being healed, delivered, set free, redeemed in any other way, your needs being met, because it's the same salvation. Amen. But we are in God's class, and when God does things, he says it. And God said, and it was done. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Go back there and read how many times. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. Well, God said, if I would confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, if I would confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I would be saved. If I would confess with my mouth, believe in my heart, I'd be saved. So it's what I believe in my heart and say that I'm going to have concerning salvation. Now, you know this works. Well, it works on all edges of it, because you probably know Christians like I do who confess that they're not healed. And they believe. And they struggle. All right. One last scripture, Mark 11:23. Not anything new tonight, right? But Mark 11:23 has been good to me. Right next door. How many of you know that song? It's Mark 11:24. David Ingalls. He sings a lot better than I do just there, boy. Familiar verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, to me, that's another way to say what we just read in Romans. All right? I'm believing it in my heart, and I'm saying it with my mouth. Now, again, I'm not trying to produce healing. I'm not trying to produce anything of salvation. It's already been done. I'm just believing it, which puts me in a right place. And now I can say it. And when I say it, it belongs to me. Right? See, because what I say, I have, if I believe it. Now, see, we haven't even read a verse that says, you know, other than talking about what the definition of the word saved means. But, you know, so God probably knew we wouldn't get all that. How many verses in the Bible talk to us about God's the healer? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Right? He sent his word and healed us. Jesus said, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me. And part of that anointing to do is healing. Okay? Now listen, Jesus made a statement. And it's recorded there in Luke chapter 4, after he had read from Isaiah 61 that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. and had anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the sick, basically. You know, to do these things. We know that we know more about that from Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. Jesus handed that scroll of scripture back to the priest there in the house, and he sat down and he made a statement. He made a statement that we need to take hold of today. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What does that mean? Now's my day of salvation. Right now. I'm not waiting for it. I'm not waiting to be healed. I'm healed now. I'm not waiting to be delivered. I'm delivered now. Why? Because Jesus has already done it for me. Connect your mouth to your belief. Give voice to what you believe. Amen? And listen, I'm not confessing it to make myself believe it. I'm confessing it because I believe it. In fact, I found this. If I'll go to the Word and remind myself of what the Word says before I ever say anything, then when I say it, it comes up out of my heart. All right? You know, back in those early days, we had, like I said, 48 steps to the highest faith. And people would teach on confession, you know, confessing God's word. And they'd tell you, they counted how many times they confessed it. And when I said it on the thousandth time, I heard somebody say that. When I said it the thousandth time, the power of God hit me. So now there's a new doctrine. Got to say it 1,000 times. Listen, you only have to say it once. You only have to say it one time. It's true. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand up together. Thank God I'm saved. Amen? Thank God. Glory to God. You're saved because of what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Our prayer teams are coming right now. But while they're coming, I want to ask you a question. If you're here tonight and you've never, ever, never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or let me put it this way, you've never, ever accepted your salvation, which includes being born again, becoming a child of God, being adopted into the family. God has chosen you for adoption, but you're an adult, so you have to choose to accept it. Now, how do you do that? By believing in your heart and saying it with your mouth. You don't want to leave here tonight without becoming a partaker of the salvation that belongs to you. Even though you may not be a Christian tonight, but it belongs to you because Jesus bought and paid for it. Brother Hagin said, the sad truth is that many people will die and go to hell when salvation belonged to them all along. But you have to receive it. So I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul said, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, please come be reconciled to God tonight. Don't leave this place tonight without coming and receiving of that salvation that belongs to you because of what Jesus did. It's not based on you can't be good enough, so just forget about all that. But if you want, don't leave here tonight without that. And then if you need prayer for any other thing, come down here, ladies. Come to the ladies, men to the men. Amen. In fact, bow your head right now. If you're here tonight and you've not partaken of salvation like I'm talking about, you would say, I'm not a Christian. I haven't partaken of that, what you're talking about. I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? I want to know to pray for you. If ushers would help me, see if you got anybody that wanted to raise their hand. I don't want to. It could be somebody watching this service tonight. I don't know. But it's so simple. The gospel's not hard. Believing's not hard. In fact, once you become a Christian, what do we call you? A believer. Hallelujah. Anybody at all? Don't see any hands. All right. Hallelujah. Well, I expect to see you in eternity then. Because that's part of our salvation, is eternity with God.